Let's have a word of prayer together and sing. Father, I thank you for bringing us together this morning. I thank you for the opportunity that we have to worship. I thank you that the United States has made much headway since Martin Luther King, and we celebrate that day tomorrow. But Lord, I pray that we make more advancement, that we move further, so that what would it be like that marginalized people are no longer marginalized? Lord, you tell us in your word, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, that we're all one under Christ. Lord, I just thank you. I pray that we would be unified in that. We pray you'd be glorified now as we worship together. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are loved. You are loved by the very hands that painted the stars and set the planets into motion. You are not a coincidence. He chose you to exist in this very moment. You are not a drop of water in the ocean. You are seen, and you are loved. You were handpicked by the King of Kings. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He is your father, and you are his child. He delights at the opportunity of talking with you. No height or depth can separate you from the love of God. His love is endless, like the depths of the seas. It's a love that stands firm when you are at your lowest. His love is full of grace and compassion. You are loved without conditions. You are deeply cherished and loved by the one who created you. Take in the peace, knowing that you are a loved child of the King. Let that love guide you, empower you, and fill your heart with joy. His love has no beginning and no end. The love of God will always be. You are and have always been dearly loved.
That is called truth. Truth that we find in the Bible. Mary says, amen. Amen, Scott. I love, we got a charismatic baby growing up here. I was back there and Mary's dancing to the music and I just love that. But that we just heard is called truth of Scripture. Every piece of it is in the Bible. So we started a series a couple weeks ago, and then I skipped last week, but it worked perfectly. It worked perfectly, and we'll just kind of review. I thank you guys for your prayers. Kind of what's been going on with me since August is I get this weird pain that happens right here and doubles me over. And I hadn't had it in probably 5-6 weeks at least, so I was thinking maybe it's gone. It's just been mild pain. And then last week was really tough. It was one of those weeks where I didn't eat a whole lot. And so, you know, I was like, oh, I can't really prepare. I'm not focused. I'm not all that. So I had Roland step up for me, and it was just awesome. You know what I love about this church family is that it is a team. It is a family. From the people who serve up here, where we have different faces oftentimes that are playing and singing, and if you play and you sing and you're hiding, talk to Katie, all right, talk to Katie. And so we have that. Then we have these people that are learning how to run sound. And so they're back there like Devlin going every week. There's a lot of buttons on that thing. And so you have to do it repetitively. So we've got Devlin learning how to do that. We've got Steph learning how to do that. Chris does it. The goal is that they're going to work me out of a job. Because I was called to be a pastor, not a roadie. And so I love it, like this morning, having Dev back there running sound so I could sit with my family and tease my granddaughter. You know, that's what church should be. You know, I just love that. And all the people who serve. Last night, we were in trouble because we had lasagna on our menu. And we have this wonderful person. Her name is Jamie. If you're watching online, Jamie, we appreciate you. And Jamie has stepped up and helps us with cooking. Well, she was going to cook her lasagna. And those of us who know Jamie, she makes cannolis. She loves making Italian things. And we were all excited. And then at the start of the week, Jamie said, "I have COVID." And we were like, or the end of last week, "Oh no, lasagnas." So I'm like, "Just go to BJ's, buy the frozen ones, pop them in." And Kathy's like, "Oh no, that's not okay." Because Kathy makes incredible lasagnas and spaghetti and meatballs with her own sauce and all that. So we're just kind of scrambling a little bit. And so I reached out to our friends at Casa Novello, who several years back, you know, we just kind of, they were like, "Hey, any chance we can use your parking lot at night, you know, because our crowd, it's an overflow." And I said, "Of course, because we love our neighbors, right? And we're not parking in it." Great. And so I called, I sent her a message. I said, "Hope, we're in trouble. We were having lasagna on Saturday, and we don't have any lasagnas, and we don't know what we're going to do." And she said, "How many do you need?" I said, "Well, we need enough to serve like, you know, 80 to 100 who come and take out meals with them. So about that," she said, "I got it. I'm sending 4 trays." And then she said, "No, I'll do 5 just to make sure. Just to make sure." And I was like, "Okay, just let us know the cost," you know, figuring she'd do it for us at cost. And she said, "There is no cost. You know, I'm glad to do this for you." When we love our neighbors and we all work together, things happen. So our guest last night at Open Door Kitchen, served by many of you on the team, 189 meals between the takeouts. And it's different now at Open Door Kitchen ever since COVID hit. When COVID hit, we started doing this thing where we had takeout meals, where we were like drive-through, and we did all that. And so we identified a lot of people who were like, I have social anxiety. I don't want to go with all those people. I have this. I don't want to go. I'm feeling sick. I can't go. And now we were like at the place, what do? Do we make them come in and sit down, or do we feed them? And so we said, we're going to keep doing both. So we have, you know, 70 to 90 normally in person, unless it's Thanksgiving or it's, you know, St. Patrick's Day, and then it's crazy. But I think, how awesome is it, team, that you fed people? The other thing we do is takeout meals. When people have had their fill, and they're all set, and they're like, "Can I get one to go, to take with me?" We say, "Absolutely." Because oftentimes, who's taking home a meal? People who might be food insecure, right? People who might be like, "I'll have," maybe it's an elderly person who's going to have another great meal during the week. So we cook more to make sure we're able to do that, because God called us to feed the hungry. What a team. All the people who work with our kids, whether it's working in our nursery, like Heidi running nursery, and you guys who are volunteering, and then Heidi saying, "I want to figure out how to do it during the summer when we're outside." So we need a bunch of you guys to volunteer. We're going to build a giant building in the middle of the park. No, she's looking at other options. You know, the people who work with kids' time, the people who decorate, the people. Wow, what a blessing it is to me to be able to just call and say, "You know what, I'm not feeling good." And most pastors, you know what they have to do? They have to call around in the pastor circuit to find another pastor or a retired pastor to come in as pulpit supply. But we are so blessed, we look at our list of 5 or 6 in our body who can teach and go, "Can you go on?" And God is doing incredible things with us. We started this series called Think Ahead. Think Ahead, and talking about going into the new year, resolutions and all that stuff, and not really resolutions, but having an overall goal, planning to actually become more like Christ or see our faith grow. What if we thought ahead and made a plan for that? And I started off by telling you guys the incredible Jack Handy saying, if you change nothing, nothing changes. If you change nothing, nothing will change. And that's a reality in our lives. So we a couple of weeks ago, we looked at this, how to deal with things that pull you away from God. Things that pull you away from God. Things that are temptations that will look good. We saw that temptation is basically just a word that means to make sin look good. Right? If sin wasn't fun, it wouldn't be a problem. If sin didn't look good, it wouldn't be a problem to any of us. And so that was 2 weeks ago, and we said this, in responding to things that pull you away, we need to flee, renew, heal, pursue. Right? Got that? Flee, get out of there, renew, allow God to renew our minds, heal, sit with God's forgiveness. Soak it in, rest in it with thanksgiving, and then pursue God, pursue that righteousness. And then last week, we had this guy speak. And you ever have those messages that someone is speaking and you're like, oh my gosh, they're talking to me? Yeah, you ever have that happen? You're like, do they know what's going on? And Roland sends me his message in the morning about trusting God and putting that faith in God over fear. And I'm sitting there having missed an entire week because I get this pain right here, and my wife continuously saying, you need to go to the hospital, and me saying, no. Because you know what? I'm scared of hospitals. Makes no sense at all. Because it was a hospital that installed a new liver, right? It was a hospital that saved my life. But I've got this fear. I got this fear of hospitals. And so my brother Roland talks about how to respond in faith instead of fear, and basically said act, focus, trust, and hope is how I boiled it down. Act with wisdom. Certainly take those precautions about things that deserve, that we need to be fearful of, but know the difference. Focus on the Lord, not on your fear. We need to stay focused on glorifying God in our lives. And he said, trust, God has this. He has a plan. Hope, Jesus will return to make it right. So here I am with my fear going, oh, crud. That's to me. That's to me. I'm scared. And people, when I tell them, oh, this is what's going on, they say, yeah, you should have them check your gallbladder. And I say, I don't have one of those. They say, well, have you had your appendix checked? I say, I don't have one of those. How about, I got a new liver. They installed that. And my fear is I'm going to go in and they're going to take something else. I'm like, I'm running out of organs. So it doesn't make any sense, but I appreciated that message. So starting Sunday afternoon, I just started eating everything that wasn't moving because I had a light week ahead. I said, I can go to the hospital, and I'm going to go in there. I sent a message to my son, who's a surgeon, and I said, when's the best time to go to the emergency room? Because I am a planner, and it needs to fit into my schedule. I want to plan my emergencies. And so he says, 6 a.m., New staff comes on fresh, 6 a.m. to noon. That's the time. So I'm eating, and I'm going, okay, tomorrow I'm going to be in big pain, and this will be great. Nothing. Monday, let's get Chinese food. Get Chinese food. Robin's got a meeting. I pound that Chinese food. I eat all the stuff. Nothing. Same thing, Wednesday night life group. I'm eating everything everybody's brought. And I'm going, Thursday, Friday, we're doing the same thing the whole time. And I'm going, I guess it's not food related. So it was weird because we'd go to bed at night and Robin would go, good night, I hope you don't feel good. Because we were like, let's get in there and get the scans, because my appointment with the gastroenterologist is at the end of the month, and that will at least give us a head start. So Roland spoke to me last week, and now I'm ready to go in, but everything seems fine. And so this morning, I want to challenge us to embrace three truths that change everything: identity, community, eternity. I think it's harder today to know what is true than at any time during history. And if you like playing online little games, there's a text-based game that I found that's kind of fun. You try to see how good you can be at putting together fake news and getting people to buy it. It's like one of those weird games where you get rated on a score of you tweeting this message and how many people would share that. And you start seeing the whole thing come together, that if you tag the fear and you go into the emotion, woo, that needle starts going up. And that one, for those of you guys who want it, it's getbadnews.com. Getbadnews.com. It's a game that I got off track while I was planning my message. So we're going to play a game about truth and lies. Don't worry, introverts. This is not the two truths and a lie game that you hate at work. I saw a comedian last week who said, you know that game, two truths and a lie? I hate that game. I don't want to play that game. So this is how I play, she said. My two truths and a lie, I hate you, and I hate you. And then I leave. I thought, wow. So we're going to play this little quiz here, and I want to see you guys. Here, true or false? The fear of long words is called hippopotamonstrosequiptiliophobia. If you think that's true, stand up. All right, Savannah. All right, Chelsea. All right, good. Over there. Now, the answer is true. That's unbelievable. Now, feel free, Google it. Fact check me. Go for it. There's another word for it as well. How about this next one? True or false? Koalas have fingerprints. If you think that's true, stand up. Nobody. That's true. Man. How about this one? True or false? The unicorn is Scotland's national animal. True or false? Stand up if it's true. Oh, we got a bunch of people. Are you guys nuts? You know the unicorn is not an actual animal, right? Right. True. That one is true as well. What? Man, we're trying to find the truth here, and we're really stinking at it. This one. I read this one, and it came across, and this has more to it, so hang on. This is true, this part here. Tim Tebow, 2009 college BCS championship game, he wore these eye black patches that said John 3:16 on them. And it got the attention of the media, and he got to talk about that some. Well, 3 years later, to the day, he played and beat the Steelers in overtime for his first NFL playoff win. Okay. Here's the things to determine if you see this, if you're going to share it, or it's false. The first, he accumulated 316 yards. Whoa, creepy. He averaged 31.6 yards per pass. What? 316? This is crazy. He had 3.16 average rushing yards per carry. How many of you are thinking this is true? This is absolutely true and incredibly bizarre. So here's the question. You see this come across your Facebook and you go, wow, and you immediately forward it or share it. And most people go, wow. I look at it and go, no. And so I fact check everything. It's been a tough time because of the fires and everything that's been happening in LA, right? And we look and we see photos and seeing is believing. So maybe even some of you shared this photo. Did you share it? That was just, how many of you guys think that was true? That picture of that Hollywood sign. Oh, you know what I'm up to now. Because you saw something really wrong with this. Spelled with two D's. This is AI, which we now have and go, seeing is believing, and now we have to go, no, it's not. No, it's not. I need to examine things more clearly, more deeply to get the truth. You know, it's interesting to me. We will see things online and we don't check anything. I saw something that was like during the whole COVID thing and all that. It was a big thing that said 700 doctors have signed on to this document saying this is unhealthy and this won't work and this is, and so it made the news. 700 doctors said this, and people said, wow, 700 doctors, this is incredible. This is a problem with that. And you know, the problem with that is there are a million doctors in the United States alone. So that's 0.07% of doctors agree. 0.07%. So in other words, 99.93% of doctors don't agree. They didn't sign this document. But it got presented to us as this thing that said, this is truth, and whoa, it's scary. Look, and I had people say, look at this proof, 700 doctors. And I go, wow, it's giant. But then when we look at the actual data, we got to be careful, because as I saw in this game that I was telling you about, choosing your words and going on different pieces of fear, different pieces of emotion, we can make something a bigger deal than it's meant to be. So that Hollywood sign, we look and we say, what is truth? Where can I find truth? The Hollywood sign didn't burn. It's misspelled. So I'd like you to take out a Bible, grab it on your phone, and look up John chapter 14. And if you need a Bible, you don't have one, I've got a few up here. I'd be glad to give it to you. There's also Bibles in the pew. Take it with you. Understand that it's a library. It's a book of many books. So if you start at the beginning, you're going to see Genesis, Exodus, and you're going to go, whoa, this is a really cool stories. And then you're going to hit Leviticus and go, I'm done. Because Leviticus is a book of laws, and you're going to go, what? I can't do that. Okay, John 14, 1 through 3. This is a story. We're going to get into a story of a man named Nicodemus, but this is the words of Jesus. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I'll come and get you so that you'll always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. No, we don't, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where we're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way. I am the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So in embracing three truths to become more like Jesus, when we see it's harder today to know truth than any other time, I believe we can look to Scripture and know that is truth. That is my truth that has never let me down, but it's not just my truth. It's truth. In John 8:44, Jesus told us that Satan is the father of lies. We're going to have a series coming this spring where we're going to talk about how fear has crippled us as a society. And maybe that's been the plan. The author, the father of lies, he's also called the deceiver. He's called the counterfeiter. He's called the evil one. He's called the slanderer. He's called the thief. And in 1 Peter 5:8, it says this: stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around looking like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Devour with what? Devour with what? I think he devours with chaos, with confusion, with conflict, with fear, with distrust and division. I think he devours with paranoia. He devours with the opposite of Jesus, the Jesus of Scripture that we meet here. He's the opposite. He's the anti-Jesus. The Bible calls him the Antichrist, the opposite of what Jesus is. And so we ask ourselves the questions, do we want that? Do we want the opposite of Christ, or do we want Christ? Do we want truth or lies? In James 4:7, it says, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Flee, renew, he'll pursue. Resist him, pursue truth, pursue Christ. So let's look at Nicodemus and his interaction with Jesus. We see him three times. The first, this thought: everyone ends up somewhere. Few people end up somewhere on purpose. That's why we say, think ahead. Make the plan for your faith. Make your plan to grow. Make your plan to increase in knowledge and depth of insight. Think ahead. Look at John 3, verses 1 and 2. And I think we need to be truth seekers like Nicodemus. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. I'm curious here. Why did Nicodemus come after dark? Why is that? Why do you guys think that is? In his group, as a religious leader, they were most interested in doing away with Jesus. Nicodemus is coming at great risk and seeking truth. I talk to people and who will say, No, I don't believe any of that Jesus stuff. And I say, yeah, that's okay. It's not going to change your and my relationship. I still treat you the same and understand. But let me ask you this. Have you ever checked into Jesus for yourself? Well, you know, I see other people who say they're Christians and they do this, or I saw on, you know, Fox or CNN, I saw this, I don't want any part of that. My friend told me this happened at a church he went to, and I go, wow, those are all painful things that stink. And I totally agree with you. But have you ever checked into Jesus for yourself? I mean, go read his words, his words that we have multiple manuscripts showing his words. Have you ever done that? And they usually say, no, I've never done that. And I say, I think it's important enough that I encourage you to do it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just read the biography. Look for his character. Look at what he did. And then make your decision. And you have the right to do that. That's what Nicodemus was doing. Nicodemus was sneaking away from the group that was all saying, this guy, he's a false prophet. This guy, he's the Antichrist. This guy, they didn't call him the Antichrist because they didn't think the Christ. Anyway, they said, this guy is bad. We need to get rid of him. Nicodemus said, I'm gonna go talk to him. So let's see how it continues going. Jesus told him this. This gets misinterpreted so many times because in the moral majority movement, it got used and attached to political philosophy more than what Jesus was talking about. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again. Nicodemus said, what? What do you mean? What do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water, physical, and the spirit, spiritual. This term, born again, Jesus is saying, unless you are born again, meaning you've got a new paradigm, you've shifted everything by following me. So you must be born again. You know, people have also used this term, born again, in relation to other things. In other philosophies, I've heard people who have had great obesity who have used this term when they started a new pattern, new thoughts, and new approach. They said, I've kind of been born again in my whole thinking. Jesus was saying, you will be born again. And he was talking about the spiritual, that when the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit opens your eyes, something happens. And it's different now. And Nicodemus was listening to this. And then down in verse 9, as they continued talking, how are these things possible, Nicodemus asked. That's a good question. We seek, we ask. You go to some places and they'll tell you can't ask any questions. Don't question that. Don't doubt this. Don't question that. Don't. But I don't see that pattern in Scripture at all. I see people asking all the time. I even see people asking God in their prayers. God, what do you mean? What is this? And then I love how Jesus goes on to explain this verse you know so well. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And of course, it's talking our spiritual life there. But then he doesn't stop there. He gives Nick more. I call him Nick because we're close. We're close. He gives Nicodemus more. He explains the motive. He kind of gives him the why. The why. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He didn't send his Son to condemn it. Now, this is a big thing for Nicodemus. Because when you think of the Hebrew leaders and the amount of ritual that you have to do in order to be acceptable, clean enough, pure enough to even step foot in the temple, there's a lot of condemnation in that teaching. A lot of condemnation. And then Jesus comes out and says, no, no, God did it because he loved. God loved. God gave. We believe. We receive. And why? Because God came, sent his Son to rescue. To rescue with a better life. He came as the truth. As the truth. So when we see these things that we need to grasp, as we look at this one, our identity, that you are loved by God. I don't care what you're involved in, what you're doing, what you do with your free time, what you're addicted to, what your marriage is like, what anything that's happening, that does not change the amount of love that God has for you. Your identity is you are loved by God. And when you say, like we'll see Nicodemus, when you say, Jesus, I'm following you, you're reborn with a new approach to life. You're rescued, not only from hell, not only that you get eternity, but you're rescued now. Now, in today's world, and that you're redeemed. What does redeemed mean? It means you're worthwhile. I should have brought in a bag of cans. I should have brought in a bag of cans and said, when are these valuable? They're valuable when you turn them in, when they're redeemed, right? Somebody else has said those have value. God says you have value. And so, because I created you, you are redeemed. You are worthwhile. What you choose to believe determines who you become. What? Seek Christ and become free. The truth shall set you free. Free of what? Free of the world and the father of lies. The chaos, the confusion, the fear, the worry, the hopelessness. See, if you live in a world where you choose to believe hopelessness, you become hopeless. If you choose to believe in a world where everything is against you and everything is a conspiracy and there's no one good in anything and you just believe all of that, you become paranoid and cynical. It depends that that's what it's saying. By you choose to believe, what you choose to believe determines who you become. If you're a grump because you choose anger all the time, you become that grump. Not good to be around. And Jesus said, the truth shall set you free. So you are loved, you're enough. The world says you're not enough. The world says you're not loved, you're unlovable, you're worthless. But Jesus didn't say that. See, if you want to change what you see when you look in a mirror, you have to change what you say. You have to change what you say. If if you want to look in that mirror and you want to take a picture of this or do whatever and post it on your mirror, I know it sounds hokey, but it's so true. When Satan feeds you the lies that you're worthless, that you fall so far short, that you're not good enough, that you look at yourself in the mirror, and if you say, you are not your mistake, your past does not define you, you're a child of God, you've been forgiven, you've been redeemed, God will use your past for His purposes, you have people who love you, you are loved by God, you will be who God created you to be. That is the truth of what Christ told us. That is the truth. We look at the next one. Community shapes how you think. Where you belong shapes your outlook and perspective. And the second time we see Nicodemus is in John 7 in the temple. Jesus had been teaching. Religious leaders were planning to arrest him and kill him. And Nick takes a stand. Nick takes the stand where he says to his pals, the group he's with, the community he's with, he takes a stand and dares to speak truth that he has now discovered. And he says, when they're talking about it, getting rid of Jesus, he says, is there a single one of us rulers or Pharisees who believes in him is what they're saying. This foolish crowd follows him, but they are ignorant of law. God's curse is on them. Then Nicodemus says this. Then Nicodemus, the leader who had met with Jesus earlier, spoke up. Is it even legal to convict a man before he's given a hearing? You know what Nicodemus is saying there? He's saying the truth. He's saying, you've heard things, but have you ever checked into Jesus for yourself? Have you ever? So when we look and we say, in my group, I want to recognize that I want to walk with the wise to become wise. I want to look and say, is my group, my community that I hang out with, is it toxic? Is it negative? Is it bringing me down? Is it good for me? Is it sharpening? And if the answer is no, Lord, help me find that community that helps me become more like you. I want to tell the truth. No more fake news. And the last thing, eternity determines what you pursue. Your concept of eternity determines what you pursue. Where you belong shapes your outlook and perspective, but eternity determines what you pursue. In John 8:32, it says this, that we all have a master. Matthew 6:21 through 24 actually talks about it as well. What we pursue becomes our master, and we all have a master. And then we see Nicodemus for the third time, and this is significant. Remember, he was in a group, in a community, that he would lose his job, he would lose the respect, he would lose everything if he chose the truth of Jesus. And this is where we see him again. In John 19, after Jesus has died on the cross. Afterwards, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus, because he feared the Jewish leaders, he was a secret disciple, asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. When Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body away. With him came Nicodemus, the man who came to Jesus at night. He brought about 75 pounds of perfumed ointment made from myrrh and aloes. Following Jewish burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with the spices in long sheets of linen cloth. Wow. If Nicodemus hadn't declared himself a follower of the king before, when he gives this man, who the Jewish leadership is saying deserves to die and is a false prophet, Nicodemus gives him the burial of a king. Joseph of Arimathea gave him a tomb. Most who were crucified on a cross were thrown into a mass grave. They weren't even given that dignity. But our Jesus, in his death, was buried as a king, as Lord. Nicodemus, I believe, took his wealth and he declared that Jesus is truth, that Jesus was who he said he was. I would like to know what the consequences were. But the Bible doesn't tell us. Bible doesn't tell us any of that. Because the main thing is a plain thing. The plain thing is the main thing. As my friend Greg Jones always reminds me. The main thing is a plain thing. The plain thing is the main thing. The main thing about this is Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, and because he's Lord, you can decide to follow him, to say, that is truth, I believe it, I am created in God's image, I am redeemed, I am loved, I am valuable, I am worthwhile, and I know it's hard to do that if you live with a spouse who tells you you're not. I know it's hard to do that if you live with parents who tell you it is not, that make you feel worthless. I know it's hard, but those things come from the father of lies. Jesus, the way, the truth, the life. So our music team comes to close us. I want to just let you know, when I was 16 was when I made that decision, like Nicodemus, I believe, did, that Jesus would be my master. His grace would be what I would follow. His teachings would be what I would follow. The way he lived life would be what I would follow. And I've never regretted that. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. No matter how bad life has been, and I've gone through some doozies, God has never turned his back on me. He never leaves you, never forsakes you. I hope you'll sing this song that Ed chose perfectly for ending this. And let the words be your declaration. Sing it. I pray you sing it all week. Every time the negativity hits you, every time the father of lies hits you, I pray you sing it. I pray that you memorize it and this becomes ingrained in your heart. Let's stand and sing together. You are loved. You are created in God's image. And if you don't believe it and you don't feel it, please come hang out with us. Let us convince you. We would love the opportunity. Lord, go with us now, we pray in your name. Amen.